This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg here with you on VSiN Prime Time. That's right, we're coming to you live from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas as we get you ready for Game 3 of the NBA Finals with the series shifting to Indiana. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers are tied at a game apiece, and that comes as a surprise to many who, prior to this series beginning, would have picked OKC to win both games at home. But now the Pacers are at home, and Game 3s have not been friendly to Indiana. In fact, they draw Game 3s here in this postseason. Can they get over the Game 3 hump tonight? And can the Oklahoma City Thunder get over their road woes? 0-7 ATS on the road in this postseason. We're about 90 minutes away from tip-off of game number 3 in Indiana. Taking a look at the updated markets right now, and we have the Oklahoma City Thunder down to a 5-point favorite here at Circa. 5.5s are still on the board. So there are several books that still have -5.5 available, or rather I should say +5.5 available if you are in on the Indiana Pacers. If you like the Oklahoma City Thunder, -5 is the best number you're going to get. That's here at Circa. The total is at 226.5. There is one book that has a 227. There's actually a couple of books that have 227s. There's 226s out there in the market as well. But here at Circa, 226.5. 226.5 is the number for the total in this game. Again, Oklahoma City -5 here at Circa, total of 226.5. And there's so much to talk about when we look at this game. And I mentioned it. There's the Game 3 aspect for the Indiana Pacers. We go throughout this postseason, right? And we see Game 3 against the Bucks. That was on the road, but Game 3 against the Bucks, it was a loss. Game 3 at home in the Cavs series, after they won Games 1 and 2 on the road, they lose Game 3 at home. Against the Knicks, they win Games 1 and 2 on the road, they lose Game 3 at home. So Game 3s have not been friendly to the Indiana Pacers. And yes, we can just look at the home situations here and the two losses to the Knicks and to the Cleveland Cavaliers. From the Oklahoma City Thunder perspective, they have not done a good job of covering spreads on the road in these playoffs. They've won games, which is crazy to think, like, the team is 0-7 against the spread on the road, but they've still won games. And that just goes to show you, like, the lines in some of these games, like, they're heavily favored, right? Here they are as a 5-point favorite. And to me, it doesn't make sense. I say this all the time when it comes to evaluating point spreads and markets in sports betting. Whenever you see a line, you can ask yourself two questions. Do you understand it? Can you get behind it? When I see this game, and when I saw this game opened up at 5, went down to 4.5, to me, didn't understand it. Didn't understand it. Certainly can't get behind it, but didn't understand it. After talking it over with several people, after taking a look at, you know, where both of these teams are or have been throughout the course of this postseason, can I understand the number a little bit better? Maybe. But this is what I will bring to the argument here. If we look at the Oklahoma City Thunder in this postseason, I don't think anyone's going to argue there hasn't been an upgrade or a downgrade. I mean, if anything, there's been an upgrade. Certainly hasn't been a downgrade on the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've been the best team all season. They've been the best team here in the playoffs. Okay, against the Denver Nuggets, in game number 1 at home, they were 10.5-point favorites. Okay, they lose that game number 1. In game number 2, also at home, zigzag built in, once again, 10.5-point favorites. That was the one that made no sense to me. because I understood you had to upgrade Denver off the win. But the bounce back, the zigzag, it factored in way too much. Why was it the same spread as it was in game number one? That didn't make sense. And so what happens in that game number two is the Oklahoma City Thunder prove that, yes, that 10.5 didn't make sense as they win 149-106. Okay. They go on the road then in Denver, where the Nuggets, you would say, now, again, if anyone wants to argue this with me or has a differing opinion, please, by all means, I'd love to hear it. Hit me up on Twitter, at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network, at VSIN Live. The Denver Nuggets have one of the best home court advantages in the NBA. That's been proven over the years, right? The altitude, it factors in. It's a great home floor. So maybe you have to give Denver a little bit of an edge on their home floor. Plus, they have the best player in the world in Nikola Jokic. The Thunder were 6-point favorites in game number three in Denver. They were 10.5-point favorites in game number one. They lose game number one. They blow them out. OKC blows out Denver in game number two. And then they're 10.5-point, then they're 6-point favorites on the road in game number three. Forget about the outcome of game number three for a second, because that doesn't matter here in this argument. But if all things are equal, the Nuggets compared to the Pacers, the home floor is better for the Nuggets than it is for the Pacers. Are the Pacers slightly upgraded because of what they've done so far in this postseason? Yeah, I can make that argument. But in the weakened Eastern Conference, what did the Pacers really do that was the most impressive thing here, besides the miraculous, historical comebacks? The Cavs were a great team during the regular season. Pacers erased them. Good job. They beat an injured, weakened Milwaukee team, and they beat a Knicks team in the Eastern Conference Finals that, despite my Knicks fandom and anybody else's New York bias, the Knicks were not world beaters. The Knicks were not a title contender. They were never thought to be an elite team this year. They were what their record says they were. They were the third team in the Eastern Conference behind Boston, behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, they had some all-star players, some all-NBA guys, but they weren't this dominant team. The market felt that the Pacers and Knicks were pretty close to even with each other. Knicks favored in that series because of the home court advantage. So what have the Pacers done in this postseason that tells me, or at least the market tells me, that they are net-net better than the Denver Nuggets? And I know you're probably asking, what does that even matter? Why are you saying better than the Denver Nuggets? Because, well, the Thunder were 6-point favorites in Denver in game number three in this exact situation. Series tied at a game apiece, where they were 10.5-point favorites in game number one, 10.5-point favorites in game number two. They split. They lose game one. Game two was a blowout victory, a no-doubter, wire-to-wire winner. And they're 6-point favorites on the road. But yet, in this series, where they're 10-point favorites in game number one, they dominate the whole game with the exception of the fourth quarter, where Indy goes on an incredible run, steals that game. Thunder get bumped up to 11.5-point favorites for game number two. They win wire-to-wire. They cover. But they're only 5-point favorites now in Indy for game number three? Something's not adding up. Don't tell me that the Thunder have been downgraded. They haven't. How is this line 5? Now, I'm not saying that, oh, this is just an automatic win and an automatic cover for Oklahoma City, and it's a tremendous bet, and it's guaranteed to win. No, look, they lost game number three in Denver. It happens. Teams lose games, okay? Teams lose games. But this number doesn't make sense to me. Now, if you want to say that the 0-7 ATS on the road is the reason why that this team has been, I guess you can say, downgraded slightly in the market, my answer to that is, well, they're on average on these road games 7-point favorites. They're 4-3. Yeah, they're 0-7 ATS, but that's not exactly a large sample size. They still have won 4 of those games. And it's not like they're winning these games. It's like the losses, you know, the 3 losses, obviously, like, they don't cover those. The wins, all right. A close win against Minnesota, they don't cover. Close win against Denver, they don't cover. 2 wins against the Grizzlies, they don't cover. 9.5, 15.5, 7-3. I mean, this is a 5-point line. It should be 6. To me, it's Oklahoma City or pass on this game. But we got best bets coming up. We have so much more to get into when it comes to this NBA Finals game number 3. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime. I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on the Sports Betting Network. You can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Plenty more discussion on NBA Finals game number 3 coming up. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Chuck Esposito. Going to get his thoughts on this game. Also, I want to ask Chuck what's been going on behind the counters. A lot of things with the Stanley Cup Final as well. Christopher Powers will join us later on, and our very own Greg Peterson talk a little Major League Baseball. So lots of stuff to get into tonight here on VSiN Primetime. And I want to touch on some baseball games that are in progress right now, because we might have some live betting opportunities. And who doesn't love a live betting opportunity? Here's what's going down right now. Bottom of the third inning in Baltimore. The Orioles are have a 2-0 lead over the Tigers. There's 2 outs in the bottom of the third. Baltimore was the favorite in this game, and so this could have been one of those, you know, sneaky situations where you're looking at the market and you're thinking, hey, Orioles at home, 12-18 at home on the year, 26-39 record overall, favored over the best record in baseball, Detroit Tigers, 44-24, and Casey Mize has had this incredible start to his season this year. Well, sometimes you got to follow the money. See what I did there? It's like a VSiN thing. But the Orioles take a 2-0 lead early, or in the bottom of the third inning, took a 2-0 lead off of a Ramon Urias 2-run home run off of Casey Mize. No hits, meanwhile, through the first 3 innings for the Detroit Tigers. Zach Eflin is on the mound for the Orioles. Your live number right now in this game is Baltimore, a massive favorite at -372. Elsewhere in progress right now, they're going to the bottom of the first inning at Fenway. Red Sox and Rays are scoreless. Pitching for the Red Sox in this one is Walker Buehler. Zach Littell getting the start for Tampa. And live market right now, Boston a -167 favorite there at Fenway Park. Elsewhere, it is the Nationals and the Mets are scoreless. Going to the bottom of the first inning at Citi Field, Jake Irving on the mound for the Nats, and going for the Mets is David Peterson. Peterson has had a really nice start to his season. He's got a 2.76 ERA this year. And if you go look through his game logs, like, David Peterson has been tremendous for the Mets. He has not allowed more than 3 earned runs in any start this season. Let that sink in.
because we talk about quality starts, six innings, three or fewer runs allowed. Well, if not for a couple of outings that he went 5 2/3, 5 innings, 5 1/3, 5 1/3, 4 2/3, it's been quality start after quality start after quality start after quality start for David Peterson. And his most recent outing against the Dodgers might have been his best. 7 innings, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts. So he has been given, certainly, the length for the Mets. He's been giving them quality starts. And New York was a heavy favorite, heaviest favorite on the board, actually, coming into this game. They are minus 365 now as they are in the bottom of the first inning there at Citi Field. Finals from earlier, we had a ton of day games across Major League Baseball. Pirates a 5-2 win over the Marlins. The Phillies salvaged the final game of that series against the Cubs 7-2. The Guardians avoid the sweep, beating the Reds 11-2. Was the Braves a 6-2 win over the Brewers. Blue Jays 5-2 over the Cardinals, finishing off a sweep there. Diamondbacks beat the Mariners 5-2. The Angels a 6-5 win over the A's. And the Dodgers took care of the Padres 5-2. We still have games coming up a little bit later on. We have the Yankees and the Royals from Kansas City, where Clark Schmidt gets the start for the Yankees and Chris Bubich for Kansas City. The Yankees, short favorites, minus 130, after they put up a 10 spot in yesterday's game, a 10-2 win yesterday over the Royals, and Noah Cameron, who's had a tremendous start to his young rookie season. Well, the Yankees absolutely lit him up. Aaron Judge greeted him with a two-run home run in the top of the first inning there. But Chris Bubich has had a phenomenal season for the Royals. 5-3 with a 1.43 ERA. And if you look through some of his game logs, I mentioned David Peterson being great. Well, Bubich, since the calendar turned to May, he has made 6 starts and only allowed 3 runs total in those 6 starts. 39 1/3 innings since the calendar flipped to May. 24 hits, 3 runs, only 1 home run allowed. That is an incredible stretch run for Chris Bubich. Yankees still slight favorites, though. Minus 125 or so, minus 130, depending on the book. So Yankees slight favorites over the Royals and Chris Bubich. Is this the time where Bubich comes back down to earth? That could be the case. We see that time and time again where these guys go on these incredible runs. And when you're a pitcher, when you're hot, you're hot. And sometimes that hot streak cools off. And when it does, it cools off very, very quickly. I will say this, you look at some of the analytical numbers, Bubich with his 1.43 ERA, his expected ERA, 2.81. And his fielding independent pitching, 2.45. His xFIP, 3.27. Now those numbers, to me, signal a guy that's due for some regression. So Yankees, as I mentioned, short favorites here over the Kansas City Royals. Rangers are at the Twins. Jack Leiter goes for the Rangers, and David Festa on the mound for Minnesota. Minnesota's minus 150. The White Sox are at the Astros. Sean Burke for Chicago. Ryan Gusto going for Houston. The Astros minus 180 or so. And the Giants are at the Rockies. Robbie Ray with his 8-1 record, 2.44 ERA on the mound, against Kyle Freeland, 1-8 with a 5.19 ERA. The last time out, the last game that Kyle Freeland pitched at the Marlins, 6 1/3 innings, 2 runs allowed on 4 hits, picked up his first win of the season. It was just the second game this year that the Rockies won where Kyle Freeland was the starting pitcher. He is 1-8. He just picked up his first win, and it was just the second time all season that the Rockies won a game in which Kyle Freeland pitched. Meanwhile, for Robbie Ray, 8-1 record. The Giants have only lost 2 games that he started this year. One of them was a 3-1 loss where Robbie Ray went 7 shutout innings. Gave up no runs on 6 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. He got the no decision. 7 shutout innings. That was a game that the Giants lost. And then They lose at Miami, where Robbie Ray goes seven innings, allowing just one run on two hits with nine strikeouts, and they lose that game 1-0. Those are the only two games that Robbie Ray has taken the mound that the Giants have lost this year. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say they're not going to lose this one to the Rockies. Just my you know, guesstimate here. Just don't see it happening. You know, by the way, the Rockies, who lost the game yesterday, and the announcers are like, man, this is a team that's just finding new ways to lose games. What was it, four runs in the ninth inning they give up? They were up 5-2 in the ninth inning. They give up four runs in the ninth and lose 6-5. Bad teams find ways to lose games. And the Rockies find ways to lose games. With Robbie Ray on the mound, I'm going to back the San Francisco Giants. I'm going to play the run line because that's the way you always play these games against the Rockies. So you can do -1.5 for the Giants is -137 here for this game coming up about an hour or so from now. Hey, you want to bet smarter this football season? Well, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from the hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Again, the promo code is BOOK. Going to keep an eye on these Major League Baseball games in progress to see if there's some live betting opportunities. We do have some score updates in the games that are going on right now. The New York Mets have an early 1-0 lead over the Nationals thanks to a Pete Alonso double. Alonso's having an MVP caliber season. And the Red Sox take a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first off of the Rays thanks to a Jaron Duran solo home run. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at BSIN Live. We'll get back into the NBA Finals game number 3. We've got best bets coming up as well. This is Primetime right here on BSIN, the sports betting network.
This is BSIN Primetime on BSIN, the sports betting network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime. I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you on the Sports Betting Network. Going to keep an eye on all the Major League Baseball games going on in progress. I mentioned some early runs there in New York and in Boston as both the Mets and Red Sox jump out to early leads in the bottom of their respective first innings. But we'll also keep an eye on the games that will begin momentarily. Yankees and Royals is next up. Rangers and Twins as well this hour. But let's get back into the NBA Finals. Game number 3 is coming up about an hour or so from now. And there's one angle that I want to attack in this game. And I've been looking at some numbers here. I think that we can really take advantage of Tyrese Halliburton props in this game. Specifically, early on. Now, Tyrese Halliburton came out and he was quoted as saying, quote, "I just got to figure out how to be better earlier in games. Kudos to them. They're a great defensive team, but I'll watch the film, see where I can get better," end quote. Now, the key part of that quote to me is, "I got to figure out how to be better earlier in games." You see, we know what Halliburton can do. We've seen him score late in these games. In fact, we saw it in game number 2 in a losing effort. He had a terrible first half, a very quiet, I don't want to say terrible, a very quiet first half, and then he scores in the second half, has a lot more success in the second half. Does that have to do with maybe the defense, you know, lighten up a little bit in the second half? Maybe that's one aspect of it. But also, Halliburton maybe getting a little more comfortable in the second half. The flow of the offense, he's getting more into it in the second half. Whatever it is, he's been a better second half player than a first half player. I think that changes tonight. For Halliburton to come out and specifically tell the media that he has to do better earlier in games. Well, I think Halliburton comes out with a big effort early in this game, number three. Let's look at Tyrese Halliburton's first quarter performances here in the playoffs. In 18 games, he's averaging 3.5 points per first quarter. He had 0 in 4 games. Let's see, I'm going to look through Tyrese Halliburton's game logs. In the first quarter, he had 0 in 4 of those games. He also had 2. He had 2 versus Milwaukee, 2 versus the Knicks, games 1 and 2. He had 3 points. Here we go. All right. He had 3 points on 1 of 4 shooting in games 1 and 2 in this series. 3 points on 1 of 3 shooting. Both of them are 3-pointers. So, look, he shoots threes early. I mean, at least we can give him that, right? He's shooting threes early in these games. But not great first quarter performances overall. Just 3.5 points in the first quarter. At home, though, Halliburton's been a little bit better. At home in the first quarter in these playoffs, 4.25 points in the first quarter. He had 3 games with 0 points in the first quarter. He had 4 versus the Knicks in game number 3, 15 in game number 4. He had 2 in game 3 versus the Cavs. He had 6 in game number 4. And here's something to keep an eye on, or like a different aspect of this. Halliburton knows the moment. He tends to, and I've criticized him for this before. But he tends to show up in the moments, and he tends to disappear when the moment's not there. I say when he's playing with house money, he tends to disappear, right? I mean, look at his game logs specifically. They win, the Pacers win games 1 and 2 versus Milwaukee. Game number 3, you would think that's house money. You're already up 2-0. Halliburton only scores 14 points. In the Cleveland series, they win games 1 and 2. They're up 2-0. In game 3, house money, right? He only scores 4 points. Against the Knicks, he actually had a decent game number 3. But after a 32-point performance in game number 4, the Pacers take a 3-1 series lead. The ultimate house money spot. Game 5, back at Madison Square Garden, he completely disappears and only scores 8 points. When the moment's not there, he disappears. But you can't say that without saying the opposite. That when the moment is there, he shows up. After a loss, he shows up. When the team's trailing and they're having a big run late, they need somebody to take the clutch shot, he shows up. After a loss this year, Tyrese Halliburton scored 4 points in the first quarter, 6 points in the first quarter, 15 points in the first quarter. And in the regular season against Oklahoma City, he had 9 points in the first quarter in a game in March, 3 of 6 shooting, all 3-pointers. In December, he didn't score any points against Oklahoma City in the first quarter, 0 of 1 shooting a 3-pointer. I think Tyrese Halliburton, in this moment, NBA Finals, game number 3, the first home game, you're not playing with house money. The series is even at a game apiece, and most people are writing you off because you should be down 2-0, but you had a big comeback in game number 1. So much talk about the Pacers' inability to win a game number 3. So much talk about the Pacers being out of this series despite stealing game number 1. I think tonight's the night that Halliburton shows up early. He came out and was quoted in the media, said in his press conference, I just got to figure out how to be better early in games. I think there is going to be a real effort to get Halliburton going early here in this game tonight. And so you can look at Tyrese Halliburton's first quarter points. He's at over 3.5, is minus 150 at DraftKings. You can take that and certainly lay the juice and play it, or I'm gonna have a little fun here. How about a ladder? How about we climb the ladder on Tyrese Halliburton first quarter points? I told you about the points that he's scoring in the first quarter. Majority of them are coming off of three-pointers. He's shooting threes early in these games. 4 points for Halliburton is minus 150 on DraftKings. 5 points for Halliburton is minus 105. 6 points, plus 150. 7 points, plus 225. 8 points, plus 340. And 9 points, plus 475. I'm going to play the ladder. I want to ladder Tyrese Halliburton first quarter points. If he makes 3 three-pointers in the first quarter, 9 points plus 475. But either way, again, DraftKings, you can ladder this. 4 points, minus 150. 5 points, and again, DraftKings does like the 4+, 5+, so you can cash all these bets, obviously, when he gets them more and more. But 4, minus 150. 5, minus 105. 6 plus 150, 7 plus 225, 8 plus 340, 9 plus 475. In fact, his baseline prop here of over 3.5 points in the first quarter, I'm going to go ahead and make that my best bet. That's my best bet for this game. Tyrese Halliburton starts early, gets over 3.5 points in the first quarter. That's at minus 150 on DK, but again, you can ladder. And I think that if you play some of these alternates, there's a real chance that he not only scores 4 points in the first quarter, but it winds up being a bigger number, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe even double digits. And you're getting up, you can get up to plus 500 on that. That's going to be my best bet. Brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head to vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. This one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the prop markets for this game coming up tonight. Who do we expect to go off? Points, assists, rebounds, and more. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSIN Primetime.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is VSIN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network, getting you ready for game number 3 of the NBA Finals. Coming up about 45 minutes or so from now from Indy. Let's take a look at the updated market right now, see if we've had any movement. And, well, we have. Here at Circa, we were at the Thunder minus 5, and now up to Thunder minus 5.5. So that's more in line with where we are across the market, as most books, if not all, have the Thunder minus 5.5. As far as the total is concerned, we are at 226.5, so no movement here at Circa. There is still a 227 out there in the market, but everywhere else is at 226.5. And the Thunder from 5-point favorites now up to 5.5-point favorites. It is minus 105, though, so reduced vig on the -5.5 here at Circa. And I'm on the Oklahoma City Thunder because I think this line just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. They should be 6 or higher point favorites, especially when you consider the lines that have already been placed on them earlier in this postseason. And I understand that the Thunder have not performed well on the road. 4-3, so they've won 4 games on the road, but 0-7 against the spread. On average, they've been 6.9 point favorites. So they've been 7-point favorites in these games. But how about when they're, 5.5 point favorites or greater? 0-3 only. So the 0-7 doesn't look so bad if you erase like the big lines here. They're 5.5 point favorites in this game. And in these playoffs, they were 5.5 point favorites in a game against Denver that they lost outright. They were 3-point favorites in a game against the Timberwolves that they lost outright. And they were 3-point favorites against the Timberwolves in a game where they won by 3 and did not, and they won by 2 and did not cover. So yeah, 0-7, those numbers don't look, those numbers are bad. But with a line similar to where we are tonight, it's only 0-3. Small sample size. It's not crazy. Now here's what I did. I looked up some situations here that the Oklahoma City Thunder are in. And I went through the history of the database, and I wanted to look at teams that are, the road teams, okay? Or rather, let's talk about the home teams here. Let's talk about the Pacers from a Pacer perspective. You want to spin it around the other way? That's how I'm going to do it, but it's okay. Game 3 of any playoff series, so not NBA Finals, just any playoff series, going back to 2003, Game 3 of a playoff series where the home team is an underdog, and in game number 2, that team lost and did not cover. So the Pacers lost game number 2. They didn't cover game number 2. Now they are a home dog here in game number 3 of the series. Those teams are 25-55 straight up. That's 31.2% straight up. And against the spread, 33-45-2. 42.3% ATS. But I took it one step further. So right off the bat, those are bad numbers for the Indiana Pacers. Teams that are, and what some of these trends tell me, again, trends can be used to support your arguments, right? And what this one shows me is that the teams are home dogs in the playoffs in game 3 for a reason. They're not as good as the other team. And on average, these teams 4.5 point dogs, which Pacers are 5.5 point dogs tonight. But I took it one step further. What if you won game number 1 on the road? So you win game number 1 on the road, like the Pacers did. You lose game number 2, and you don't cover game number 2 on the road. And in game number 3, you are a home dog. Those teams, 7-20 straight up. And against the spread, 9-17-1. 34.6% ATS. These aren't good trends for teams in this role as the Pacers are in tonight. Now, these are great numbers for teams that are in the Thunder's role because the Thunder lost at home as a favorite in game number 1. Then they dominate as a favorite in game number 2. Now they're listed as a road favorite in game number 3. There's a reason why. Is because they're that much better than their opponent. And in game number 3, these teams are 20-7, like the Thunder, 20-7 straight up, 17-9-1 ATS. This is a great trend to support the Thunder being a 5 to 5.5 to 6 point favorite in this situation here that they're in against the Pacers. So let's take a look now at some of the props for this game. Talked about Tyrese Haliburton and his first quarter props, and I think that that's where that's my best bet. It's what I'm going to be on. I think Halliburton's going to start this game early because he came out and he told the media, I need to do better at starting games early, getting started earlier in games. So I think Halliburton gets started earlier in these games. Could even put a sprinkle on Halliburton to have the first basket. How about a Halliburton three as the first basket of the game? Talk about a sprinkle there. But let's take a look at the prop market for the entirety of the game tonight. And I want to take a look at, well, how about some of the player props? Let's go to points here. Shea, we already know what Shea's going to do. His line's at 33.5. Game number one, he goes over. Game number two, he's listed as 34.5. He goes under, scoring 34 points. So, 1 point adjustment on the road here. Shea's at 33.5. Jalen Williams is at 21.5. Pascal Siakam is at 19.5. Tyrese Halliburton, 17.5. Chet Holmgren, 14.5. Miles Turner, 14.5. Aaron Nesmith, 12.5. Andrew Nembhard, 11.5. Alex Caruso, 9.5. Caruso is interesting to me because I think he could score double digits. 9.5 for Alex Caruso. Let's take a look at three-pointers. Halliburton, over 2.5 is even money. The under, juiced at minus 130. Nesmith, over 2.5, plus 110. Lou Dort, over 1.5, minus 160. Jalen Williams, over 1.5, minus 135. Miles Turner, over 1.5, minus 130. Shea, over 1.5, minus 130. Alex Caruso, over 1.5 is even money. Obi Toppin, over 1.5 is plus 110. And Chet Holmgren, over 1.5, plus 135. Actually, don't hate a Chet over. I don't hate that. Might have to take a look at that. Rebounds. Chet Holmgren, 8.5, plus 110 to the over. Isaiah Hartenstein, 7.5, over is even money. We might have to make another best bet in this one. Isaiah Hartenstein's going to have 8 rebounds. Now, we saw in game number one, Isaiah Hartenstein only play 17 minutes. And I thought, and many people thought, and by the way, he had 9 rebounds in that game number one. I thought, and a lot of people thought, that Hartenstein was going to wind up playing more in game number two. If not, being put right back into the starting role. Well, he's not starting in game number two, but he did play more minutes in game number two. Played 22 minutes in game number two. And he had 8 rebounds off the bench in those 22 minutes. I should know because I bet his points plus rebounds plus assists to go over 16.5, and he only finished with 15. Eight rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 points. Hartenstein, we talked about this before the series started, could have been a good value bet on the player to lead the series in rebounds. Right now, he's at plus 140 as the favorite to lead the series in rebounds. Hartenstein's total tonight is 7.5, and the over, it's even money. I think this is a great bet for this game tonight. I like Isaiah Hartenstein to go over his rebounds tonight. I for sure thought that would be raised up. I really thought that was going to be boosted up because he had, what, 9 in game number one, 8 in game number two. The market's still at 7.5, and it's even money to the over. Yeah, Isaiah Hartenstein over rebounds. That might be another best bet for me here on this game. Let me tell you guys about Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You can earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code PRIME. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter, at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us off on the network, at VSinLive. Coming up next, we will get the tales from behind the book, as Chuck Esposito will join us coming up on VSin Primetime, here on the Sports Betting Network.